This morning, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Malachi, and that's the very last book of the Old Testament. So if you know where your New Testament starts, there at Matthew, just go one book to the left. Malachi, the final book, prophetic book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12 is what I'm going to read here this morning. And if you don't have a Bible, we have pew Bibles. Feel free to use one of those here this morning. I read out of an NIV translation, so your translation might be slightly different than what I have. But I'm going to start at verse number 8 and read through verse number 12. So, in Malachi chapter 3, if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning from this Old Testament book, starting at verse number 8. It says this, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." Let's pray. Father, as we read through this scripture here today, how do we apply this to us? And Father, that's what we all need to learn here this morning. We need to learn about giving. We need to learn more about the tithe. And Father, we just want to learn what you want us to learn and go forward from this day. So Father, I hide behind the cross as I speak the message that the Holy Spirit has planted into this piece of paper here this morning. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're in week number 3, and this will be our final week in the sermon series on financial giving. And you're probably saying, well, Mike, didn't you tell us last week that you're going to take a break from this because you wanted to talk about the current events in America? And I did say that. I did say that. And I have failed on that promise. So forgive me for that. As I was preparing for that message, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, finish up the giving thing and then go into another series. So, yeah, we're going to finish up here on giving, financial giving here this morning. And I promise you the exciting conclusion today is going to be painless. Okay, it's going to be painless, I promise. But today I'm going to start off where I left off last week. And I said this, it is extremely important to know the Old Testament history behind the tithe so we can understand better how we apply that to us New Testament people here today. So what was that Old Testament history? Well, here's just a little refresher course if you weren't with us last week. I said this, Israel was a theocracy. A theocracy. The nation was a theocracy. God was the king. And there were three separate tithes that were required that the Israelites had to give as prescribed by the law. The first 10% was this. The Israelites were to give a tithe, 10%, of everything from the land to the Lord in support of the Levites. That was the first 10%. The second 10%, the Israelites were supposed to give a second tithe, second 10%, for national festivals. So now you're up to 20% giving. And then the Israelites were supposed to give a third tithe every 3 years for the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows and the orphans, so that they may come and eat. You got to remember, not everyone could give, so this third tithe was like a welfare program that the Lord had set up for the nation Israel. So essentially, since they were a nation, what were their taxes? Their taxes were these tithes, and we need to remember that. So by the time you get to Malachi, the book of Malachi, which we just read, the final book of the Old Testament, we are around the year 430 BC, somewhere thereabouts. And the Israelites were failing miserable at paying their tithes. In other words, paying their taxes. And remember, it was mandatory. It was the law. God said, you got to do this. And because they were not doing it, God was not happy, as you can see is written on the pages right here. Malachi chapter 3, specifically verse 10. You know, there are many, many, many pastors and preachers today that will use this text from Malachi as a basis that Christians today should also give 10% of their income to the church. They will say this. They will say that if you, I'll kind of pretend like I'm one of those preachers here this morning. If you don't give your tithe, you are robbing God. And they'll go to verse 8 for that one. Then they will say this, that you need to bring those tithes to the storehouse. So that means the church is the storehouse, so you need to bring your tithe here to the church. Then they will tell you that the abundant blessings that you will receive when you elevate your giving to 10% of your gross income, not the net income, your gross income before taxes. And then they will say this, we can even put God to the test because verse 10 says we can do it. You know, there are some pastors will say this, if you don't get a blessing after you start tithing, I will offer a money-back guarantee. It's kind of hard to decide what the blessings are going to be once I become a tither. So let's come up with a hypothetical situation about this. So let's say that I am a member of a congregation in a church where the pastor tells me that I need to tithe. I need to give 10%. So knowing what I know now about the Old Testament tithes, which Old Testament tithe am I giving? Am I giving the first 10%, which means I give to the Levites? Because remember, the Levites were the people who had no land. They had no inheritance. They ran the church. So is that the 10% that I need to give? Or do I give the second 10%, which is for national festivals and things like that? Well, we don't have national festivals. Maybe I give it to the church so they have festivals on their own. Or do I give the third 10%, which means that I give every 3 years for the widows and the orphans and the aliens and the fatherless? Or maybe I should just give all three of those, which is about 23.3% of my income to the church. You really run into a pretty sticky situation if you want to base on what we today must give on what the nation Israel had to give and was required of them back then. So let's look at a brief New Testament history of tithing. Just a few fun facts here. Did you know that tithing was first made mandatory for all Christians at the Synod of Meissen in 585 AD? So at that time it was made mandatory. About a millennium later, in 1552 at the Council of Trent, the Catholic Church would bring excommunication on any Catholic if they declined to contribute their tithe to the church. Instant excommunication if you didn't give 10%. Well, that's kind of like the Catholic side of it. Let's look at the Protestant side of it. In the Protestant arena, tithing was first taught and collected in churches in the United States. Are you ready for this? Not until the second half of the 1800s. Even then, the teaching of tithing was not consistent among churches and among denominations. And it wasn't until the late 20th century that churches start teaching not only the tithe, but you no longer tithe on your net income, you tithe on the gross income before taxes. Well, is tithing a New Testament command? I do not think so, and I'm not going to teach it, and I'm not going to preach it. Because I don't believe so, because I don't believe it's found anywhere in the New Testament that it teaches me that I need to give, as a New Testament Christian, 10% of my income to the church. Well then, if you think that tithing is not a New Testament command, then why do pastors and preachers preach tithing? I've been to this church, I've been to that church, I used to be part of a church, and the pastor preached tithing. I need to give 10% of my income. Well, let me give you three possible reasons why I think pastors still preach tithing. Number one, they preach tithing because that's what they've been taught, and that's the only thing they know. They were in churches, been part of it, so they keep on preaching it. I see that. Number two, second reason, it's a good plan for financing a church. Let's be honest. There are some churches out there who are up to their eyeballs in debt. Amen. They're up to their eyeballs in debt, and the only way they're going to pay off the fancy building and everything else that they got is to demand more money from the people in the congregation. I said this very, very early in my tenure as pastor here at Beech Grove Church. I promise you, if this church became overflowing with people, no, we are not going to build a new building. We'll go to 2 services. We'll go to 3 services. We'll go to 4 services. We'll go to as many services as we got to have. I am not sitting through a building program and going to demand that you need to give 10% to pay for this giant building that we got. Reason number three. Some pastors are paid proportionately to what their churches bring in. So the more I tell you that you need to give, the more money I'm going to put right here. Well, that's not the case here. There is a fourth reason, and I don't have it listed here. Let me just say this. I will say this. There are people that go to church that give nothing. They give absolutely nothing. And I think we all need to give something. So even by preaching tithing, even though they might not want to give 10%, maybe it might encourage some people to give something. Okay? I believe we need to give something. When I pastored at my former church, I was required to tithe. Not only that, I had to give tithes and offerings. It was not optional. It was mandatory. I could not stay on staff if I didn't give 10%. And yes, the preacher, the pastor, used Malachi chapter 3, we just read, as proof text that I need to give 10%. So, what does the New Testament say about financial giving? Well, let's go to the New Testament, the one place. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, if you want to. If not, I'll just read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This gives us a great summary of how we today need to give in a church, in a Christian environment as New Testament Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 6. And it says this, and then we have quite a few fill-in-the-blanks, and we'll go through those rather quickly. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies need to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. We'll just stop right there. To briefly sum this up, we would say that we give to God by our offerings and the whatever we decide to give, and the amount that you want to give, the amount that you want to put in that plate as it's gone by here in the morning, it's up to you. It's up to you. But let's look at the biblical principles, and these will also be our fill in the blanks that we got here in our bulletin if you want to fill them in. Biblical principles that we need to stand on. You will reap, number one, you will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. That is a biblical principle. It's so obvious. We've heard everybody talking about it. You're going to reap what you sow. So the question is, what are you sowing? Mike, does that mean if I sow twice as much money in the basket every Sunday morning that I'll get some kind of reward? I don't know how God is going to reap benefits and blessings in your life. I'm not going to say it's going to be financially. I'm not going to say that. I just say this. You will reap what you sow. The more you sow, the more you'll reap. The less you sow, the less you'll reap. Okay? I'll let you figure out how that biblical principle applies to you. But I guarantee the more you sow, the more you will reap. That's from verse number 6. From verse number 7, it says this. Give the amount that you want to give. Give the amount that you want to give. How much do you want to give? You want to give this? You want to give that? You want to give this? You want to give more this week or next week? Give the amount that you want to give, because that's what it says. Give the amount that you want to give. Also in verse number 7. Let no one tell you how much to give. Let me read verse 7 again. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or what? Under compulsion. Under compulsion. What is it about these tithing pastors when they stand there and they say, you need to give 10%. I have just compulsed you. Is that a word? I have just compulsed you to give 10% of your income into this church. I am not going to do that. Why? Because also in verse number 7, next fill in the blank, it says that we need to be what kind of givers? Cheerful givers. Cheerful givers. This week I'm going to give $20 and be very cheerful about it. Next week I'm going to give $500 and be very cheerful about it. The week after that I'm going to give blah, whatever it's going to be. Be cheerful about what you give and put in that basket every week. Because some people are being made to give a certain amount. My friends, I told you this was going to be painless. I am not going to tell you how much to give. Okay? Give what's on your heart to give. I can almost guarantee if more tithing pastors would preach this, they'd get more money in a basket every Sunday. Amen. It says this in verse number 10. God's going to replenish what you sow. God's going to replenish what you sow. You might say, well, Mike, if I give more money next week, does that mean that check will be in the mail? I don't know how God's going to bless you. All right, I'm not going to make a blanket statement like the prosperity preachers and say, if you come on up here and you throw your money at the altar and let me wallow around in it here a little bit, like I've seen some of the preachers doing. Yes, they do this as the people are throwing their money down and they're walking all over it. Don't get me started. First of all, I'm not going to do that. God's going to replenish what you sow. That's His promise. You figure it out between you and Him how that's all going to happen. I know this from a personal example. I've never been without money. I'll just say that. Nobody knows how much I give. because it's nobody's business. Well, she might, because she does the finances. And that's what she does. She doesn't tell anybody. Next point. Your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Praise the Lord God, because you have given me this that I can give to somebody else. And I'm just going to thank you for that. Because, let's face it, the abilities that you and I have to work, to make money, where do they come from? Don't think so highly of yourself, people. God gives us those abilities to do that. Amen? Whatever job that you do, whatever you do for an income, thank the Lord and praise the Lord that He gives you that to do that. And your generosity will result in thanksgiving. Praise God that I can put that check, that I can write that check every Sunday and put it in the offering. Next one. Others will praise God for your obedience. For your obedience. You know, when I was not a Christian, I remember speaking to a lady that I worked with many, many years ago back in the 80s. And she said that she gave 10% of her income to her church. And first of all, I just couldn't understand that. And she said, it's the right thing to do. I like giving 10%. And I couldn't praise her for that. But now that I'm a Christian and I see her obedience and what she's doing, it just so happened that she decided 10% was right for her. And praise God that she's being obedient to what the Lord's putting on her heart. And then from one other one, and this is actually from the book of Acts. Remember the story in Acts chapter 5 about a couple? Their names were Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira, I'll tell you the story here real quick. Ananias and Sapphira had gone to the apostles and said, we're going to sell a tract of land and we're going to give all the proceeds back to the church. Well, they decided, well, you know what, we better not really do that. Let's just give a part of it back to the church. Well, that was not the right thing for them to do. Because if you go back and read Acts chapter 5 and verses 1 through 11, that they said they were going to do one thing but did something else, and they both ended up dying. Now, granted, that probably won't happen in here. At least, I could just see, Romy coming in saying, I think I'll give 20 bucks this week, but on the way here, he said, I think I'll only give 10. I think we'll still be okay. But but if you decide to give 20, give 20. If you decide to give 100, give 100. Whatever you decide in your heart, make sure you give that amount to the Lord. Because I don't know if I want to get on the wrong side of the Holy Spirit, okay? If that's what I decided in my heart to give, that's what I better give. I'm going to tell you another quick little story. This past week, I was talking to a good friend of mine. You remember Tim Williams? He came and sang that one Sunday. It's when the bat flew. He was the guy who the bat flew at him, while he was singing. If you remember that. Him and I were talking, and he said, Mike, what are you going to preach on this Sunday? And I said, I'm going to preach on financial giving. And he said, oh, yeah, tithing. He said, yeah. And I said, Tim, I don't preach tithing. And he stopped in his track, and he said, what? I said, I don't preach tithing. He said, everybody preaches tithing. And I said, no, they don't, because I don't preach tithing. Well, why don't you preach tithing? Well, I don't preach tithing, I said, because it's not a New Testament principle. It's an Old Testament principle. He said, really? That was on Monday. Tuesday, he comes in, and he says, Mike, remember that conversation we had yesterday about what you're preaching on tithing? I said, yeah. And he said, you're right. You're right. We're under grace. We're not under the law. He said, that's a burden to have to put an amount on any one person in a congregation. I said, you're right, Tim. He said, thank you for opening my eyes to that. And I said, you're welcome, Tim. I said, you're welcome. But I have to say this. If you want to follow Malachi 3 principle, then you need to follow it to the letter of the law. And the letter of the law says that if you don't give 10%, you're going to be cursed. I ain't following that. I think I'd rather follow what Paul says. To be a cheerful giver. When a basket comes around, put something in a basket and do it cheerfully. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. I do not know what any person in this church gives or puts in that basket. I don't know anybody. I don't like to look at checks. I would not want her job to see what people put in. Because it's none of my business what you give, what Romy gives, or what Linda gives, or what Ollie gives. It's not my business. And I say shame on those pastors who go through the giving records of their churches Monday after Monday after Monday after Monday. And you say, you got to be kidding me. I'm not kidding you. Yes, they do. Because I know that they do. Because what will that do if I know that Romy gave $1,000 every week, but Everett's over here, he's only given 20? What's that going to do to me? Who's my new best friend? It's Romy. Both of you guys, give me a call. There's something wrong. You need me to pray for you. Romy call. Of course I'll pray for your brother. Of course I'm going to pray for you. Everett calls the next night. Well, I'm just a little bit too busy, Everett. Sorry. Can't pray for you. Trust me. It happens. When preachers, when pastors know how much their congregants give, all of a sudden there's this thing called favoritism. And it's not going to happen in this church. We give financially to God by way of the local church. There it is, right there behind me. Why do we do this? Because you pay where you eat. I know I've given this example before. You don't get a Whopper from Burger King and then go next door and pay McDonald's for it, do you? If you eat here, you pay here. If you eat somewhere else, you pay somewhere else. I think that's just good common sense. And remember, every local church, like Beech Grove, like all of them, we do have operating expenses. We have electric, gas, water, salaries, insurance, and grounds, upkeep, painting, keeping this church in great shape. And I know this because I sit in on those board meetings every Sunday. Beech Grove Church gives cheerfully, and we give with thanksgiving, and we give in obedience, because I know God's going to replenish what we sow. I just so happened this past week I got this card from the Nelson County Food Pantry. That's one of the places that we give to cheerfully quite often. Dear leadership and members of Beech Grove, thank you for supporting our work. Your generous gift of $700 can help us purchase 7,000 pounds of food, providing over 5,800 meals to our low-income neighbors in need. There's the proof of what we do. You want to know where your money goes? Like I said, we don't have a lot of different ministries going on here, but this is a very generous church. And we give to organizations like that because they help out people like that. And I'm very, very proud to be a part of a church like this who does things like that. And also sitting in on those board meetings month after month, I see the financials. And every month, it goes up, what we have, even though what we're putting out goes up. That's God's mathematics. I don't try to figure it out. I just know this. God will replenish what we sow. And we sow generously as a church. because of you. It's not just Beech Grove. You are Beech Grove Church. When you give your money here, that money goes out somewhere else. And I'm very proud of this church for doing that. And I want to continue to be a part of this church. I encourage each and every one of us, I'll just end with this, to give what you feel in your heart that you need to give. If you say, well, Mike, I like giving 10%, praise the Lord. If you give 10% and you feel good about giving 10%, continue to give 10%. I just ask this, whatever you give, whatever it is, whatever that amount is, do what you decide in your heart to give and give it cheerfully, that you feel good about putting that bill in the basket or putting that check in the basket. I guarantee God will stay good on all of his promises because he always does. So, painless, wasn't it? Give what you want to give. I could have just said that at the beginning, but no, I had to drag it 3 weeks. Let's go to God in prayer.